the Lord. It's a blessing and joy to be here today. And I'd like to ask you to turn right away to 2 Timothy chapter 2 in your Bibles, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You all know that 2 Timothy is one of the pastoral epistles by Paul to his son in the faith, as he called him, his young protege, Timothy. And our text begins with a therefore. And I know as Bible college students, you know that when you see a therefore or a wherefore, you have to go back and see why the therefore or the wherefore is therefore. And so we don't have time to go all the way through chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, but let me give you some highlights why in these first four verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul encourages and challenges Timothy to be a soldier. Why is that? Well, in verse 3 of chapter 1, he says soldiers are in service. Verse 4, there are tears. Verse 7, there are fears. Verse 8, there are sometimes prisoners in war. In verse 8, there are afflictions. In verse 12, there is suffering. And in verse 15, Paul says, all of my companions in Asia forsook me, all of them. He also mentions in verse 16 that there are chains. Now, to be fair, Paul also mentions some very exciting things about being a soldier of the Lord. For example, in verse 2, Paul describes grace and mercy and peace. And in verse 4, he describes joy and power and love and a sound mind and the presence of the Spirit of God in verse 7 and the power of God in verse 8. And this one very refreshing friend named Onesiphorus, who searched and searched and searched until he found Paul in prison and was a great encouragement to him, even though all the local friends had forsaken him. To be fair, we have to emphasize that positive part of being a soldier in the Lord's army as well. I have two objectives today. First, I want to tell you about a soldier of Christ who recently died in the battle. And secondly, I want to challenge you to get with the program. That's the title of the message this morning, Get With The Program. I want to challenge you to quit playing games, put on the armor of God, and get with the program. Now let's look at our text. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let us pray together, please. Father, we bow before you this morning and we worship you. I feel like that woman who came for healing. The Word of God says she worshiped the Lord, saying, Lord, help us. Father, we need your help today. I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit as I speak, and I pray that you would fill every person in this room with your Spirit as they listen and have your will and your way in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 44 years ago, on August 24th, 1974, Charles Truman Wesco was born at K.I. Sawyer Air Force Base in Michigan. Little more than 4 years later, Charles was born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the oldest of 10 children, and his parents, Virgil and Rebecca, raised their children to be servants and soldiers of the Lord. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in their dining room with Charles' parents and many of the siblings in the family. And we had a meal together, and we fellowshiped together, and we cried together, and we prayed together. And as I looked up from that dining room and I saw the fireplace that Charles Wesco years earlier had helped his parents install and build, I noticed a large painting on that fireplace. Generally, above the mantle is one of the most prominent places in the house, but I did not see a picture of the family. I didn't see a portrait of a beautiful landscape. I saw a painting of a bow with 10 arrows. And on each of those arrows was a name of each of their children, including Charles. And I was reminded of Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, where the Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Virgil and Rebecca Wesco raised their children to be arrows who would speak with the enemy in the gate. Most parents today are trying to raise their children to be well-adjusted, successful, and to fit into society children. But the Wescos raised their children to be soldiers, and I thank God for that. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being a success or having a success or having successful children as long as you have the definition of success that the Word of God gives. And it's often quite different from the definition this world gives to us. Joshua 1:8, as you probably know, is the only verse in the Bible that has the word success in it. The Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Your success, young people, is directly related to your relationship to this book right here. If you meditate and memorize and observe to do, that's obedience, observe to do according to all that is written in this book, you will be a success in God's eyes and by God's definition. At the age of 8, Charles was called to ministry, and at age 15, he surrendered to go wherever the Lord of hosts commissioned him to serve in the global conflict. Sometimes, small things that we think of are actually life formative. And when Charles was a very young man at the age of 12, his grandmother gave him a tuning hammer. And believe it or not, a blind piano tuner taught Charles how to tune pianos at 12 years old. Charles began working in his grandfather's piano factory and began tuning the pianos in that factory before they would send them out to their locations. Charles was a brilliant man and a good steward of the finances God entrusted to him. He became the youngest person ever to pass the registered piano technician's exam and founded the Wesco Piano Service Company while he was still a youth. His business and work in the piano factory were so prosperous that some in his family actually commented, "Charles is making too much money. I mean, he's just a little guy and he's making a lot of money." Charles' father testified at his son's memorial service 3 weeks ago that when Charles' younger sister wanted to take up the harp and learn to use that for the Lord's service, Charles began to do some research and shopping and found an $18,000 full-size harp with pedals to go in the orchestra and so forth, and bought it for his sister. When Charles was presented with an opportunity to buy a house for his family, he didn't go and have to worry about getting a mortgage. He just went out and bought the house. He was a brilliant man and a good steward of God's resources and finances. I believe that Charles could have easily been a millionaire by the time he retired. Easily. But what does our text say? Look at it again. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I heard Charles Wesco say one time, and this is a quote, "Serving Christ always comes with a cost. And if you're not ready for that, get your act together. Go back to your prayer closet. This world is not our home. We are called sojourners and pilgrims and soldiers, not people who make big homesteads and focus on living in this world." End quote. His passion was to be a soldier, not a millionaire. In his late 20s, Charles was burdened about the need for a helpmeet to aid him in his kingdom warfare. And he prayed and fasted for weeks at a time for God's leading and provision. The story goes that while tuning the piano of Pastor Williams in Warsaw, Indiana, Charles met his bride-to-be. And for some reason, that piano just could not stay tuned. He just had to keep going back and checking on that piano and making sure things were okay. And as he got to know Stephanie, and they fell in love. At the age of 30, Charles and Stephanie were married. And like their parents, both of them, Charles and Stephanie were both the oldest of 10 children, they wanted to raise soldiers for the Lord. God blessed them with 6 boys and 2 girls and 3 already in heaven. And I can honestly say that I have never seen a man more balanced in his passion for family and ministry than Charles Wesco. A few years ago, Charles got his overseas commission from the captain of the hosts of the armies of the Lord. Some would say, but Charles, you're almost 40 years old. You have a prosperous business. You've been an assistant pastor in your church for more than a decade. You've started a Bible Institute and a school of theology in your local church, and you're training men and women. Why would you want to throw all that away, some might say, and go to the foreign field? But Charles had a global perspective of the battlefield. He once said this, quote, I'm all for family. I came from a big family. My wife came from a big family. We're not here to set up Tower of Babels. We can have so many things in a family that can be business, that can be ministry, that can be church, that our young people aren't willing to stretch out their necks and go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature around the world, end quote. That was his passion. The battlefield was the world. God directed Charles to the battlefield, and some call it the mission field, of Africa. In 2015, he took a survey of three countries in Africa and ended up in our home in Bombele, Cameroon, in West Africa. And every night, we stayed up way into the night talking about how to reach Cameroon for Christ. Shortly after their return to the States, God called the Wescos to come and partner with us as co-workers and fellow soldiers in the effort to reach Cameroon for Christ. While they were on deputation, a civil war broke out in the two regions of the 10. There are 10 states or 10 regions in Cameroon, and civil war broke out in the two regions where we are ministering and serving the Lord. Most foreigners left our area. Most governments suggested that, quote, all non-essential personnel should leave the area. But as we sought the military manual, we realized the most necessary personnel in Cameroon today are those preaching the gospel of peace. Peace is never going to come to Cameroon through diplomats or bullets or violence. They need the gospel, and that is what is going to bring peace to Cameroon. After completing deputation, the Wescos sold their house in Indiana. He gave up the piano service business and said goodbye to friends and family on October 17th, last month. We picked them up at the airport in Yaoundé the next day, well aware of the eternal stakes and the present dangers. Charles wrote to his father their first Sunday in Cameroon, quote, we do have a very caring and loving God to lean upon, be it here or in the USA, who is beyond doubt in sovereign control of who falls and where and to what weapons, even down to the smallest sparrow, end quote. Charles Wesco and his family moved to Cameroon to tell sinners how they could be saved and have a personal relationship with the Creator God of the universe. And around midday of October 30th, as we drove through a major intersection between our home and Bamenda, the regional capital, one of those sinners, who the Wescos still desire to see saved, fired his shotgun through my car, mortally wounding Charles Wesco and immediately promoting him to the rank of martyr in the King's army. I can't tell you the rest of the story because I don't know the rest of the story yet. But I do know the end of the story. Jesus wins. I do know that part. I do know that at least 9 people have trusted Christ as a direct result of this terrible testimony. In fact, last week in Illinois, a Cameroonian came across the story and wondered why in the world an American would go to Cameroon as a missionary. He said, I don't even want to go to Cameroon, and I'm a Cameroonian. I want to stay here. Why did he go? And he sought out a Baptist preacher, and he asked him why this Baptist missionary went to Cameroon. And that Baptist pastor took the word of God and showed him why he went to Cameroon. And that man trusted Christ and was baptized on Sunday in Illinois, just this 2 days ago. Some have called Charles a hero, and some have called him a fool. I want to take the remainder of my time and tell you what the Bible says about Charles Wesco. I believe God is a missionary God. David Livingston once said, God had an only son, and he made him a missionary. I would go so far as to say God is so passionate about missions that he made himself a missionary. I hope you're passionate about missions. My definition of missions is the sending forth of God-ordained servants who are willing to cross geographical, cultural, and language barriers to proclaim the good news of the special revelation and salvation and sovereignty of Jehovah Jesus to all peoples in all regions of the world. A missionary is the person sent to do that work. And I believe God was a missionary. I believe the local church is a missionary body. Sometimes I chuckle when I go to church websites and I see all these tabs, and one of the tabs is ministries, and you click down and you see an alphabetical order of the ministries of the church, and you've got, you know, alphabetically, you've got the ladies' ministry and the men's ministry and the missions ministry and then maybe the music ministry and the nursery ministry, and it goes on like that. No, the mission of the church is missions, young people. Whether you're on the bus ministry or the nursery ministry or whatever ministry you're involved in, it is for the purpose of training people to go around the world. That's God's mission field, with the gospel and making disciples, just like he did with his 12 disciples. That's the mission of the church. We are a missionary body. Missions is not the sprinkles, right? Missions is the donut. That is what we are. As a local church, we are a missionary body. And I believe the Bible is a missionary book. God is a missionary God. The church is a missionary body. And I believe the Bible is a missionary book. Last year, I kept saying that and preaching that. I said, you know what I'm going to do? If this is a missionary book, I'm going to read through the Bible looking for missions in every book of the Bible. And you know what? It was not difficult at all. I found missions in every single book and the theme of missions in every single book of the Bible. I mean, you start right at the beginning. The very first command that God gave in the Bible was what? Be fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth. Because God is a missionary God. God wants a world full of red and yellow, black and white, people from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation worshiping and serving him forever and ever. His first command was fill up the earth. And we see immediately, as we go through the scriptures, we see Abraham being sent as a missionary to a land he didn't even know where he was going. That's kind of where we are right now. Where are we going? Missionaries go where God points them to go. And Jacob was a missionary to Egypt. And his son Joseph was a missionary to Egypt. And you say, well, Joseph was sold into slavery. How was he a missionary? How was he sent? If a missionary is a sent one, how was he a missionary? Well, you know the story. His brothers meant evil, but Joseph testified in the end of Genesis. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What? To save much people alive. Joseph was a missionary, and people from all over the world came to Egypt during that famine, and Joseph was a missionary. Why? Because God is a missionary God. And the local church is a missionary body. And I believe the Bible is a missionary book. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible describes something called the eternal purpose of God through Christ Jesus. The eternal purpose of God. Now, when I was a freshman in Bible college, way back in the 20th century, all right, and I went to Bible college, the intro to missions Bible class, one of my mentors, Dr. Daryl Champlin, had every single one of the freshmen memorize what he called the eternal purpose of God. The eternal purpose of God is to call out from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation a multitude redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, over whom he will crown his son, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, King of kings and Lord of lords forever. Listen carefully. This is the passion of the heart of God that cannot be quenched. This is the obsession of his mind that cannot be dimmed. This is the vision of his eyes from eternity past to eternity future that will not dim. And the destination to which he has committed his omnipotent, immutable, eternal being, a destination that he will not abandon. That's the eternal purpose of God. That is God's program in the world today. It's the program that he had in his mind before you and I were even in existence. To have people from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation on earth worshiping and serving God forever and ever. Now let me ask you a question. I told you the title of today's message. Are you with the program? If not, get with the program. Years ago, I don't know how old I was, but I was pretty young. My father came in my room and he said, how are you doing, Wildcat? And I thought, what in the world? What is this? Well, what I learned quickly was that my father had signed me up for the Hammond Baptist Little League, and I was on the Wildcats team. I am not a big sports person, all right? I'm not very athletic. I'm always the slowest guy on the team, probably physically and mentally, but I'm always the slowest guy on the team. You know, my hobbies, I don't have a lot of hobbies, but one of the things I like to do if I have free time is go out with my camera and take macro photography pictures. I love to take pictures of flowers and insects, and if I can get a picture with an insect on a flower, wow, my day is made. I mean, I'm just, that is great to me. I enjoy that very much. Baseball is a whole different thing. And I can remember in baseball that first year, I was surely the worst guy on the team. In fact, I think I got on base one time, and that's because I got hit by a pitch and automatically went to first base. You know, that was my skill level. I remember being out in right field. I don't remember if it was a game or a practice, but I remember being out in right field. And any of you who played baseball, you know in Little League, the worst player on the team plays in right field because the ball never goes out there. And so that's where I was, sitting out in right field. Notice why I just said sitting out in right field, all right? Looking at a dandelion, and I was having a great time, wondering if I was going to blow those things off or what I was going to do. I don't remember. This was a long time ago. But I do remember what happened next. I remember the coach looking out in right field and seeing me out there in right field, and in his soft and gentle, loving voice, no, it wasn't like that. He yelled at the top of his lungs, Ben, get with the program! And I jumped up and composed myself and realized I had to make a decision. I am in Little League. I am not here to check out flowers in right field. I am in Little League and I need to get with the program. You know what? That next year, my dad took me out to batting cages and we played ball and we played baseball in the backyard and I tried my best to get with the program. My athletic ability did not increase. My skill levels and so forth did not increase. But you know what? I got with the program. And that next year, I got a trophy. Most improved. Wow, that's not saying much, but it meant a lot to me. And I was like, wow, if this is the program and they give out trophies at the end of the year, I'm going to the batting cage more. I'm getting into this. And you know what? The next year, I got a trophy. Most valuable player. And I became a pitcher, and you know what? I love baseball when I got with the program. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible is telling us here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, there is a program going on, and it requires soldiers. And we need to get with the program, young people. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 is the Great Commission in a very, very small, compact one verse. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye. That first verse, go, first word. And if you're not going with the gospel, you're not with the program. It says, go ye. And I still love the King James Version. I know there's a lot of change and a lot of direction and so forth. But you know what? Those modern translations, they don't point out the singular and the plural you like the King James Version does. Down south, we haven't evolved quite that much. We still have the singular and the plural. We have the you and we have the y'all down there in Tennessee, all right? And if there's a big group like this, then y'all know, right? It's all y'all, right? That's ye in the Bible here. It says go ye. It doesn't say go you, Ben Sinclair, to Cameroon. It says go all y'all into all the world. Are you with me this morning? This verse is for every single person in this room. It's not just for missionaries. It says, go ye into all the world. Into all the world. Not just the easy places. Not just the comfortable places. I mentioned earlier, there are 10 regions in Cameroon. The north and southwest regions are the regions in civil war right now. The Bible says, go ye into all the world. In September, I had the privilege to go visit the Adamawa region of Cameroon. We went to the city of Ngaoundary. half of the population in that region is Muslim and half is non-Muslim, and they need the gospel. And there's not a single missionary that I know of any color, stripe, or background preaching the gospel in Goundary or the Adamawa region. Last month, I went and visited the south region of Cameroon. There is not a single Baptist church, liberal Baptist, any kind of Baptist you can imagine, convention Baptist, there's not a single Baptist church in the south region of Cameroon that I could find on my survey. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I've been to Bertoua in the east region where the Pygmies live in Cameroon. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I've been to the central region and the littoral region, millions and millions of people living in those two regions. The largest city in Cameroon is between 2 and 3 million people, and there are two small independent Baptist churches for millions of people. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The west region and the north and extreme north regions, almost 100% Muslim in those two regions. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, but Brother Ben, I'm faithful in my church, in my local church, and I praise the Lord for that. But let's keep our mind on the program, right? The global program. Every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. When Jesus gave his last words to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he used the word both. In Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We are commanded to be faithful both here and around the world. That is our battlefield. That is our mission field, is the world, and we need to get with the program. Amen. We as missionaries to Cameroon are praying for 100 missionaries to fill the shoes and fill the place of Brother Charles Wesco. Hudson Taylor prayed for 100 and God gave him almost 1,000. 10 missionaries in each of those 10 regions would have a tremendous impact in the country of Cameroon. And I'm here today to ask you to join me in prayer as well as consider yourself. Are you with the program? Are you with the program? Charles Wesco was handed a baton, and he's handing a baton to us. In fact, look at our text again, one last time. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says we are soldiers, and then look at verse 5. He shifts from soldier talk to running talk. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Talking about the race of life. Some people think that Charles' life came to an end and his race ended. Now, I've already told you I'm not a fast runner. The only racing I ever did was in Awana and was relay running, okay? So as the slow guy, the other fast guys could catch up and make a difference, right? And when you're running in a relay, what do? The first guy runs around, hands the baton to the second guy, and then he goes out to eat, takes a shower, and is that what he does? No, what does he do? He hands the baton. And then he stands on the sidelines cheering and coaching and motivating and emphasizing. Keep up. Keep going. Keep going. Keep with the program. Stay faithful. I believe with all my heart Charles Wesco sees what's happening in this chapel service right now. More importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ does. But the Bible tells us in Revelation that the martyrs cry out to God and say, how long? How long? Which means they have a concept of time. They have a concept of what's happening in this world. And they are praying for you and me right now. And Charles Wesco is on the sidelines like someone who has handed the baton saying, get with the program, young people. There's a world that needs Christ. Get with the program. Not the money, not the affairs of this world. We are soldiers. Get with the program. Pick up the baton. Go to Cameroon. Go to the uttermost parts of the earth with the gospel. And so was the Lord Jesus Christ in these passages that we've looked at. What will you do with the command of Mark 16:15 today? I want to challenge you one last time. Get with the program. Now I'm finished, but I'd like to do something if I may. maybe an unusual invitation. But I was speaking to one of the pastors over here earlier as I arrived, and they were telling me what a blessing it is to have a strong missions program in this college and in the local church, First Baptist Church. And I'm thrilled to hear that. I would like to ask all of you who are here today, maybe you're in the missions program or you know that God has called you to be a missionary, would you please stand right where you are? If I could just see that. You are preparing yourself to be a soldier on the foreign field. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Maybe there's someone here today. You say, Brother Ben, I just realized today when I looked at the scriptures and those verses you quoted and kind of a broad view of the scripture, I realized today that God is a missionary God and the local church is a missionary body and this book is a missionary book from beginning to end. And I believe God is calling me to missions and I want to take that baton as being handed today. I want to take that baton. And I want to be a missionary today. Is there anyone like that today? With no heads bowed and no eyes closed, you'd say, I want to be a missionary. And I want to take that baton and go to the foreign field as God's commanded us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Is there anyone like that today? Anyone at all? I see one. Anyone else? I'm going to obey the command, go ye into all the world. Amen. Anyone else? I told you, praise the Lord, I see one more. Anyone else? There's another one and another one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? I want to get with the program. I want my eyes to see the global battlefield. I surrender to God's command to go ye into all the world. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Then I want to round up with this. I'm praying for 100 missionaries to Cameroon. 100 missionaries to Cameroon. If God is leading any of you who are standing to come see me after this chapel, would you do that? Get my contact. I want to stay in touch with you. Say, Brother Ben, I want to take the baton to Cameroon. I'd love to talk with you after this service. Let's all stand together, please.